Will everyone in the Missouri Senate please rise for the prayer by our chaplain, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
From the fourth chapter of Colossians, we hear, "Walk in wisdom towards them that are without. Let your speech be always with grace." Gracious God, help us this week to be those who walk in wisdom. Help us that we might use our intelligence wisely in all the circumstances we find ourselves. May our daily behavior express warm hearts, kindly voices, and an open hand for those in need about us. And let us be your servants in all that we do. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Kevany, Kehoe, Krause, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright Jones.
The senator from Polk. A quorum is present. The Senate is in session. Read the journal.
Journal of the Senate, first regular session.
Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for the reading as journal be dispensed with, the same be approved as so having been fully read.
You've heard the motion. As many as are of the opinion it shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Reading is dispensed with. Introduction of Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Photographers from KOMU have been given permission to take pictures in the Senate chamber today.
Senator. Introduction of guests. Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. President. I request unanimous consent of the Senate to correct the report from your Committee on the Judiciary and Civil and Criminal Jurisprudence made March 31st, 2011 by submitting the correct Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bills 394 and 331.
You have heard the unanimous consent request. Does any senator object? Hearing none, it shall be so ordered. Send the correct committee report down. There will be no reading as all we're doing is correcting the original submission, which shall be printed in the journal. We're on introduction of guests. Petitions, memorials, remonstrances. Resolutions. Concurrent resolutions. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of Senate bills for perfection.
Senate bills for perfection.
Formal calendar.
The formal calendar on Senate bills for perfection. Senate Bill 81. Senator from Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 81 be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motions. Many of us are of the opinion it shall prevail. Say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before us.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 81 be declared perfected and order printed. Senate Bill 81 is a bill that simply recognizes the importance of fine arts education in our schools. There is not a requirement in this bill. Rather, it has the word may. And it talks about how that our regional professional development centers may incorporate the importance of fine arts education and just really how important fine arts education is to our schools. Be glad to take any questions, or if not, I renew my motion.
Does any senator wish to be heard on the adoption of the substitute from the Senate committee? Senator from Cape. Does the senator from Johnson yield?
I do.
He yields. You may inquire.
Thank you, Senator, very much. We're on Senate Bill 81.
81.
Is that correct?
Right.
Okay, I'm trying to... This is one that we've dealt with, you and I, before, and it used to say shall, and now it says may.
Exactly.
I think it's passed with a may in this chamber before.
That is correct.
Is that... Am I recollecting... recollizing?
Remembering. How about
recall? Good point. Yeah, I recall that's there. I wanted to make sure, because I appreciate your indulgences in working on us instead of doing sort of an unfunded mandate on our professional development centers. If they want to do this, great, but
right.
Don't come back and all of a sudden say, well, we need all this new staff, we need all of these new ways in which to do this. So I just wanted to, where exactly are we saying may on all of this stuff? Beginning in fiscal year 2013, the Office of Quality Schools
162,
may
ensure. 1195, number 2, the emphasis may include the following.
Yeah, may
and
ensure.
And so everything after that then would
may
be,
ensure that each
would be
regional,
may.
Yeah, the emphasis may include the following to collaborate. Okay, thank you very much, Senator. I appreciate the inquiry.
Does any other senator wish to be heard on adoption of the Senate committee substitute? Seeing none, Senator from Johnson recognized to close.
I close.
Senator renews his motion on adoption of the substitute. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate committee substitute is adopted.
Mr. President, I move now that Senate Bill 81 be declared, that it be perfected and order printed.
You've heard the motion. Does any senator wish to be heard? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
I close.
Senator renews his motion on perfection of the bill as amended by the Senate committee substitute. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is ordered perfected and printed. And now Senate Bill 54, the senator from the 7th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 54 with committee substitute, with the committee substitute, be taken up for perfection.
You heard the motion by the senator from the 7th. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 7th.
Mr. President, I now move that the Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 54 be adopted.
You've heard the motion of the senator from the 7th. Any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator, would you like to explain your bill?
I would. This is a bill we've been working on for about 5 years, and it started that time ago when the AP did an investigation nationally of sexual misconduct by educators. And what they found was that it was more prevalent in our schools than the priesthood scandal that was all over the press. Unfortunately, when we got close to home with Missouri, we found that Missouri was the 11th worst state in the nation for sexual misconduct by educators. The auditor did an audit on it and found that there were a lot of things that needed to be tightened up with regard to criminal background checks and reporting, so we've done all of that with this Amy Hester Student Protection Act. We've also looked at how we can correct the problem that Desi called pass the trash with regard to our school districts. What was happening is when there was sexual misconduct by an educator, they quietly let the person go and they moved from district to district to district. Some of those moved from a teacher position up to a superintendent position over a period of 20 years, and the problems kept following them. Unfortunately, I'm sorry to say, it has not stopped. As much as we've talked about it for the last 5 years, it has not stopped. And just recently in my own school district, I'm sorry to say, a wrestling coach was picked up for statutory rape and sodomy, and it continues to happen. In our committee hearing, a policeman from the central part of the state testified that he picks up an educator and finds clearly that there was sexual misconduct with a student, and the school district lets them go, and they're still moving. He has picked up the same man 3 or 4 times in a different district, and that is recently. So I'm pleased to say that we have worked with just about all the education groups. We've got this agreed to. It passed the committee unanimously. And if there are no questions, I renew my motion, Mr. President.
You've heard the motion for the adoption of the substitute by the senator from the 7th. Any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Johnson.
Mr. President, I inquire the senator from the 7th.
Senator from the 7th, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I know you've worked a lot on this bill over the years, and it seems like every year there are some changes that are made. And I know last year we had a bill very similar to this, and there was a large fiscal note to it, but I think this year the fiscal note is much, much reduced.
Right.
And it seems like the departments and everyone is working together on this. So can you just kind of talk about what the changes might have been from last year to this year?
Well, we took out a part that Social Services said was a big fiscal note with regard to their investigation. The Highway Patrol does not charge for their background checks, and that was in the additional fiscal note. So we've greatly reduced it. So, you know, I'm real pleased with it now. It's something that's so horrible to think that this is still happening to our children. And over 5 years, we've talked about it, and they are still having to deal with sexual abuse
by
our educators.
You brought some folks in that just had some compelling testimony. And the one officer you talked about that has to go pick up folks, he also mentioned that he was a victim himself.
Yes, he did.
When he was a youngster. And I think that really influenced a lot of people. And then, of course, Amy was here once again to testify on behalf of that. So
right.
It appears the bill is heading the right direction. I know you put a lot of work in it, so does the committee. So it's a good piece of legislation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 14th, for what reason do you rise?
Mr. President, I'd like to inquire of the senator from the 7th.
Senator from the 7th, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Senator, I also wanted to thank you very much for presenting this legislation. When we heard it in committee, I was absolutely stunned by the story that was told. Because I am new to this chamber, I had not heard of this. And so perhaps for those people who are new like I am, you would like to talk about Amy's story just briefly.
All right. Because this is unfortunately very typical. And the students who go through this oftentimes are so frightened or embarrassed that they don't tell people. And it took Amy a long time. 20 years from when it happened to her. When she was about 12 years old, a teacher and coach in her junior high school started having her babysit for his child at his house after school. He started giving her sex books that would make her start thinking about that, and he started grooming her towards that. And by the time she was 13, she was having sexual relationships with this teacher every day after school. And some of the teachers in the school suspected this, even though they were mandatory reporters. They didn't do anything, and this bill tightens up mandatory reporting. When she was 14, she decided that she still loved him because she thought he loved her. And she went to tell him that she no longer wanted the sexual relationship but wanted to keep the friendship. And he brutally raped her in a church cloak closet. You probably remember that description. And then after there was suspicion, I guess, he moved, I think, to 3 or 4 other school districts after he raped her. And she was so frightened because he had her scared that it would ruin her family's reputation, his reputation, and hers. And so she never told anybody until she heard this AP report that I mentioned at the beginning, and she realized this was very prevalent, and she wasn't the only one, and she did not want it happening to any other children, and that's why she came forward.
So she felt intimidation and had a great amount of fear in her life because of this situation.
Yes.
And we hear about some of these things on a national level sometimes, but we would hate to have to deal with this again and again and again in our own state. And so, again, I just want to thank you for this, but I also want people to realize that any time there is a victim of either rape or harassment, it takes something out of their lives.
Yes.
And I am very sure that women and men who have been in the situation, they absolutely feel as though their lives are not completely 100% again. And we have to think about the long-term effects, because we want every single person in our society to be able to realize everything that is offered to them in this world. And so I'm very glad that you again presented this, and I'm glad to have heard the story, and I'm glad that you are being an advocate for women.
Thank you.
Any other senator wish to be heard on the adoption motion of the Senate Committee Substitute? Senator from the 22nd, for what reason do you rise?
To inquire the bill sponsor.
Senator, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Senator, I saw an opportunity for a bill that you heard in your committee that I presented, an equally horrendous story about a situation a girl named Erin Marin went through. And I didn't come to you before, so I'm just doing it right here on the floor. I've had an amendment drafted. I think it just got distributed. It would put my bill into yours. And I'd also like to make you aware that my bill's on the calendar and we may get to it in the next couple days, and that option is available to you as well. And I just wanted to give you a quick warning.
No, you and I have been talking about that, and as I told you, you're trying to get to the same goal that I am.
Right.
And I think your amendment enhances mine, and I certainly welcome it. And I also welcome the bipartisan working together on it.
Thank you. Mr. President.
Senator from the 22nd.
I have an amendment. It has been distributed. I ask for a waiver of the reading.
Please send your amendment forward. Hearing no objection to the waiver of the reading, the reading shall be waived. Senator from the 22nd.
Mr. President, I move adoption of the amendment. What my amendment does, it's a bill that was passed out of general laws. It's known as Aaron's Law. And what it does is there's a young lady from Illinois who got a bill passed in that state dealing with a situation that she experienced in her life. She was sexually molested multiple times by a family member, two family members, and the most shocking thing that she shared with me on the phone is that 97% of all sexual abuses of children happen from somebody that they know and love. And what this bill does is it sets up a task force of a whole host of different groups that deal with children that have been sexually molested. This task force, I guess, is tasked to develop some type of curriculum, age-appropriate curriculum to teach in schools, and hopefully DESE will develop that type of curriculum. And it's as simple as that. It has a zero fiscal note because it's not mandating that DESE does this, and all the people that will be appointed to this task force will not be reimbursed for travel. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
The senator from the 22nd has moved for the adoption of Amendment Number 1. Any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from the 22nd has renewed his motion for the adoption of Amendment Number 1. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Opposed, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment has been adopted. Senator from the 8th.
Inquire the senator from 7th.
Senator from the 7th, do you yield?
I do.
Senator, I think I understand basically about your bill here. You're trying to protect the kids from sex offenders. Sometimes they're coaches, sometimes they're teachers, and I really commend you for your work on this legislation. You've done this is multiple year bill for you. You've been working on this for...
I think it's number 5, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, I commend you for your hard work on trying to protect the kids and the students in our school system. Thank you very much for bringing this bill forward.
Mm-hmm. Any other senator desire to be heard on the adoption motion? Senator from the 13th, for what reason do you rise?
To inquire my neighbor, the senator from the 7th.
Senator from the 7th, do you yield to your neighbor?
I do.
Proceed.
Senator, besides sitting right next to each other on the Senate floor, our districts adjoin.
Yep.
And I think at times on the Senate floor, being that we're neighbors, we need to expound on our strong times of sticking together.
That we
and
know.
I just want to stand up on the Senate floor and make sure everyone is aware of the fact that you are handling a bill that the MNEA, the Missouri Council of School Administrators, the Missouri School Board Association, the Cooperating School Districts of Greater Kansas City, the MSTA in Partnership for Children, all are in agreement in supporting you on this endeavor. And I just want to make everyone aware of the fact that the senator from the 7th does take leadership roles and can get everybody to the table working together. And I just want to make sure everyone's aware of that fact, Senator.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if that's a friendly inquiry or not.
No, that is a complimentary inquiry. You didn't understand that's a compliment?
I'm not sure.
No, in all sincerity, so many times us elected officials tend to be people like to describe, and I know you personally, and here we have a bill where everyone's in agreement for that's better for the kids, and I just wanted to make sincerely everyone aware of the fact that the people you brought together working on a bill for 5 years. So I am trying to compliment you, neighbor.
Thank you. I appreciate it,
Senator. Okay. Thank you.
Any other senator desire to be heard on the motion of the senator from the 7th on the adoption of the substitute? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I renew my motion.
The Senator from the 7th renews her motion for the adoption of the substitute. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye. Opposed, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 7th.
Mr. President, I now move that the Senate Bill 54 as amended by the Senate Committee substitute be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion, the Senator from the 7th. Any Senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The Senator from the 7th has renewed her motion for the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 54 be perfected and ordered printed. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail, say aye. Opposed, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. It shall be ordered perfected, or should be perfected and ordered printed. Senate Bill 200. Senator from Cape Girardeau.
Can you place that bill on the informal calendar?
It will be put on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 72. Senator from the 8th.
Could you place that bill on the informal calendar?
It will be placed on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 36. Senator from the 1st. Senate Bill 36. The Senate is waiting on the Senator from the 1st.
Sorry for holding you up, Mr. President. Could you lay that bill on the informal calendar, please?
Thank you for joining us today. It will be put on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 322, Senator from Boone.
You put that bill on the informal calendar, please.
It shall be placed on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 29, Senator from the 16th.
I move that Senate Bill number 29 with committee substitute be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion. The Senator from the 16th. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The aye appears to have it. Senator, the bill is before the body.
Senator Mr. President, I now move that Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 29 be adopted.
You've heard the motion. The Senator from the 16th for the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 29. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator, explain your bill.
What Senate Bill 29 does, for many, many years in Missouri, and in every other state in the union, as has been verified by the American Veterinary Medical Association, there are certain drugs used in veterinary medicine. They're referred to as legend drugs. Legend drugs are actually prescription drugs on the veterinary side. And what this bill does is it gives the Board of Pharmacy some oversight as to, in other words, veterinarians can handle these drugs. Veterinarians distribute and dispense these drugs to patients that we see. There are also distributors that, by prescription, can handle and distribute these drugs. But those drugs should never be distributed without the prescription. Right now, the Veterinary Medical Licensing Board has no oversight over this drug. Federally, there is oversight by the Food and Drug Administration. These are not controlled drugs. Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs control those drugs. But these are, for instance, fluquinolones, which is new generation antibiotics used in treating some of our staph and strep-resistant bacteria that are out there, oxytocin, enterofloxacins, chloramphenicols, quite a host enalapril, Lasix, drugs that should have a prescription and should have very strict withholding descriptions. And what this bill attempts to do is to put that oversight back in the Board of Pharmacy where it's been and where it's in every other state. Any questions? I'd try to answer those.
The senator from the 16th has moved for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 29. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? The senator from Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to inquire of the senator from Lewis.
Senator, do you yield?
I do.
No. I was thinking of the senator from the 18th.
I'm sorry. The senator from Lewis does not seem to be in the chamber.
He is.
There he is. Senator from Lewis, the senator from Buchanan, would like to inquire of you. It is up to you whether you yield to him or not. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. This bill will have a big effect on the ability of farmers to access prescription drugs for their animals. Are you familiar with this bill?
Yes, it was heard in my committee.
You know, in St. Joseph, we have a company called UPCO, and UPCO's been in business since the 50s, and they do sell quite a few legend drugs to farmers, and they have to have a prescription. I mean, the veterinarians write a prescription, and I spoke to the people at UPCO just within the last few days, and what they do is they receive the prescription, and they fill the drug for the farmer, and they keep records. But one thing that they don't have to do is that they don't have to have a pharmacist on site. And they're afraid that if a pharmacist is required to be on site, it'll put them out of business. They feel that they do about $60,000 worth of business a year. Would this require a pharmacist or require onerous regulations?
I don't believe there are onerous regulations. I think it's regulations, as it was explained in committee, that would preserve the effectiveness of the antibiotics and drugs that we can use in the animal livestock industry, as well as preserve our ability to use those as other people look at maybe putting more restrictions than what's in this bill, Senator.
So you're okay with this bill is what I'm hearing you say.
Yes. You do bring to light a little different issue than we had even heard in committee. If you want technical questions, I think the sponsor would be much more able to answer those than myself.
Okay. Thank you so much for the inquiry. Mr. President.
Senator from Buchanan.
I request to inquire of the senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, do you yield to the senator from Buchanan?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you. I saw you shaking your head over there, and I was just wondering if you might explain to me how, you know, UPCO would be affected by this.
UPCO would not be affected if they're doing what you just laid out. In other words, if they're getting prescriptions from a veterinarian, either faxed in, emailed, or phoned in, and Farmer Y comes by and says, I want a 500cc bottle of Baytril, and they have prescription, they can do that. They do not have to have a pharmacist on site. They have pharmacy board oversight, just like Walmart Pharmacy, anybody else does that handles prescription drugs. In other words, they can audit their records.
So this would put UPCO under the Board of Pharmacy, ultimately?
As they are now. However, as you well know, UPCO did have a lawsuit that brought to light, does Board of Pharmacy actually have oversight of veterinary drugs? And Supreme Court in Missouri said there is a fix that needs to be done for the Board of Pharmacy to be able to keep track. Because you have to understand, over-the-counter drugs will not be affected in any way, shape, or form. This is strictly prescription drugs, and we have to be accountable for those drugs and whether or not there's a drug residue. All of the farm magazines right now, there's tremendous write-ups about how important it is if we maintain the European and the Asian markets that there be no antibiotic residues. And we're at risk of being able to treat large animals and food production animals at all with antibiotics if we don't get this done in Missouri.
Well, tell me exactly what the Board of Pharmacy would do differently with regard to UPCO specifically. Would they come in and say that they are going to enforce a new body of regulation on UPCO that it is not currently required to live under?
No, it sounds like UPCO is doing their job the way they should be doing it according to the Food and Drug Administration. And there is a committee within the Food and Drug Administration that makes recommendations on how prescription drugs. What we're trying to prevent is a van that drives out of Iowa to the sale barn and dispenses $10,000 worth of Baytril to people with no prescription and with no advice on withhold or withdrawal times, either in milk or meat, and us losing the ability to even have those drugs to treat animals, which in the case of a Pasteurella pneumonia, they're extremely important.
So basically what you can assure me is that I can go back to my home district and talk to UPCO and say, UPCO, Senate Bill 29 will not adversely affect you.
That's exactly right. From what you described to me, they are operating within the confines of the law as they should be right now, and the only thing that they would have to do would be maybe fax a group of scripts. If Farmer Y bought 10 bottles of 500 milliliters of Baytril injectable, and there was a group of cattle showed up with a residue that was traced to that lot number, Farmer Y might have to ask, and UPCO is out of the loop because they have met what they're supposed to do by law.
Now, currently, UPCO isn't subject to having the Board of Pharmacy come and inspect
and
them,
look at
they?
Their records. They are, but they are not. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
It's one of those gray areas. They are subject to all rules and regulations by the federal government and the Food and Drug Administration. Therefore, they are under the auspice of the veterinary of the Board of Pharmacy. However, the court said this needs to be clearly delineated in the law that they do have oversight on veterinary legend drugs. We had a legend drugs bill early that referred both to veterinary legend drugs and human legend drugs, which are drugs that yet have not received the prescription status.
So what I heard you say, I think, was that right now if the Board of Pharmacy wanted to go and inspect UPCO, they could.
They can do it, yes.
Okay, but what could they not do that this bill lets them do?
If they are not abiding by the law, in other words, if they have a prescription, you know, and when you talk to FDA, I sat on the Veterinary Medical Board for 10 years, and when we were hashing all this out, a veterinary client-patient relationship is a rather loose term in large animal medicine. If I am your veterinarian and I visit your farm twice, three times a year, and I have a general knowledge of your operation, then by law, I can write a prescription for one of these drugs that you can pick up at UPCO or wherever you want to get it, because a lot of veterinarians don't carry these products. They're too expensive. And there are distributors, middle people that take care of that. I do not have to come and look at those animals every time. In other words, if I know what your operation is, and if UPCO is keeping track, in other words, by FDA's rules and regulations, I'm responsible to record how I'm using Baytril, because that's the last, it's an enterofloxacin, it's a floxacillin. It's the last big defense in the human side, and we had to jump through a lot of hoops to get this thing approved for use in animal medicine. And we want to keep it there because there's many times with some pneumonias in cattle, it is the only drug that will work. And all pharmacy can do, they can find them if they're totally out, if they have
disregarded all prescriptions. There's no prescriptions or anything. Generally, what they do is they call them up and say, hey, you got to get this in line. This is what we expect you to do. If they continually disregarding, then they could there could be a monetary fine. As a general rule, they do not do that.
Okay. I think that the senator from Clay had some questions for you.
We spent a lot of time on this legislation to try to make it applicable and usable to the distributor as well as the producer and keep the veterinarian in the loop.
My concern is just purely that I'd kind of like not to put more onerous regulatory burdens on a business that's been in my district for 15
However,
years.
However, being a practitioner of medicine, you know how important it is we use prescription products appropriately.
I also don't want to raise the cost of agriculture for all the farmers in my district either.
Well, at this point, I can't see where the cost would be raised because the paperwork that they do is minimal and should already be in place, or they're illegal now.
Okay. Well, listen, I'll sit down. Thank you, Mr. President.
The senator from the 16th has moved for the adoption of a Senate committee substitute. Does any senator desire to be heard on that? Senator from Clay.
To inquire of the senator from Phelps.
Senator, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Sorry, Senator, I couldn't remember your county there for a second. Senator, I've got a couple of questions for you because I represent a different district that's where country meets city or city meets country, depending on how you want to define it.
Yes, ma'am.
But I've got a whole lot of city farmers.
Right.
And they've got their cattle. Some of them are high-dollar cattle that they have on 66 acres, and they take care of them like their pets and sell them like their meat. And
right.
Then we've got a lot of horse owners in my area. Now, one of the things that currently happens right now, and I have no idea what the vet board's opinion is of it or not, but I know that it happens, is a veterinarian will, if they have an established relationship with someone, they will give them a bottle of a certain drug, and it may well be a legend drug because they know the person, they trust the person, they know they're using it judiciously. Especially when you're going on trips or long hauls or going to long horse shows,
yes,
you want to make sure that you've got tranquilizer and Vanamine and antibiotics and different things like that. Is anything in your bill stopping the ability of me or any other person to go in and get an entire bottle of a tranquilizer or a muscle relaxant or an antibiotic or anything of that nature?
No, ma'am. There is not. In other words, you can buy a bottle of Aceprozine because your farrier may be coming out and you may have a horse that just doesn't like to have the rear feet handled.
Right.
That's a problem.
That's a problem.
And Aceprozine works really well. I'm not going to sell you one dose of Aceprozine, particularly if I have a veterinary client-patient relationship with you.
Okay.
Now, if I've never seen you before and you come in and you're pretty hopped up on something and you're wanting Aceprozine and you're wanting a couple of other products and maybe throw a little bit of phenobarbital in on top of that.
Right.
No, you're not getting that from
me. But couldn't you turn that person down right now under current law?
Yes.
Okay. So this law doesn't
this
change
does
that.
Not, and that would actually be dealt with. The veterinary medical board would deal with that practitioner that was acting that way. And he would have that is a controlled drug that BNDD would deal with that individual, and they would lose their ability to write prescriptions for controlled substances.
Right now, if I go to UPCO, for example, and I get...
Or MFA.
Or wherever, the Tractor Supply, and I want to get a bottle of antibiotics. Right now, can I just walk in there and get that?
Yes, and you will under this bill. You can get injectable penicillin, Thailand 200, oxytetracycline, neomycin, Albon, I think, a lot of the sulfamethazines. Those are over-the-counter antibiotics used in production animal medicine.
Okay.
There is no control, and it has absolutely no effect in this bill.
Okay, but what I can't get, it would be the acepromazine, the Vanamine, something along those lines.
Those products are, quote, legend drugs. They have the legend on them that says this drug is restricted by the use or by the direction of a veterinarian. That is a legend drug by definition. And those drugs, there needs to be a prescription, or if you have a working relationship with your veterinarian, you don't need that prescription because he has the product, he gives it to you.
So right now, though, those tranquilizers that I just mentioned, those legend drugs that we just talked about, they're not available at the Tractor Supply or UPCO right
no,
now
ma'am.
Anyway?
No.
Okay. All right, so that bill doesn't touch that, or
right.
doesn't touch that. What about like PetMeds.com or something like that, where you, I don't have an established relationship with them, but I say, well, okay, I have, like this horse I was telling you about, that
right.
has to be on a maintenance, and I'm shopping around for the cheapest place that I can get Legend or Adequan or something like that.
Right.
Does that stop those online distributors from
no,
doing
ma'am.
Anything?
No, ma'am. I get probably 5 to 50 emails or faxes a day to sign a script for someone to get that sold to them from PetMed Express or one of the other internet companies. And as
right.
long as I have an established relationship, all
right.
I do is sign it, fax it back, and it's done. It's in the mail to you.
I may have learned something that's going to save me money right
well,
now. I've been wondering where I'm going to get that stuff.
However, you need to watch those products because some of them are about $10 higher than they are at your local veterinary, and I've noticed.
Well, I'll go shopping with you, make sure that I've got it. So is Farm Bureau okay with this?
Yes.
Missouri Cattlemen Association's
yes.
okay with this? I am concerned about UPCO, but I...
Yeah, they actually see the importance of being able to keep these drugs for use in veterinary medicine. Without these drugs, our death losses go up tremendously. We have nothing to treat a really sick animal because we're dangerously close to losing the use of any antibiotics, whether it be penicillin, oxytet, anything in animal medicine.
Resistance.
So we got to play it right according to what FDA deems we should practice.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to figure out here. I've had some real bad experiences with the pharmacy board doing things that were just off the reservation. And
yeah.
so it sounds like to me that you're taking the enforcement provisions that traditionally have been very weak with the veterinary board and putting it over under the pharmacy board that has been very
no.
strong. Is that
no,
right?
No, there's no movement of anything. Pharmacy board has always had oversight. Pharmacy board, when the court said, you guys need to fix this and make it clear, they said, then we're not going to do anything with it. And the problem that we've had quite a number of years that I've been on the Veterinary Medical Board is not UPCO. It's not the people that bricks and mortar in Missouri. It's the people that haul stuff in from Oklahoma, Iowa, states around us that have pretty strict laws about movement of these prescription drugs, and Missouri does not. And they literally show up at Sale Barn, open the back of the van, and sell $5,000 to $10,000 worth of stuff right out of the back of the van. With no oversight from anyone.
Of what? Antibiotics?
Mostly it's Betril injectable, chloramphenicol injectable.
Those are
tranquilizers
familiar with what are they? Tranquilizers or what?
These are antibiotics.
Oh, they're antibiotics.
Yeah. Prostaglandins, I don't know if you're familiar with luteolice.
No.
Luteolice is an abortifacient used in cattle to synchronize estrus. And those are very dangerous in hands of someone that do not understand, both from a respiratory standpoint and one drop on the skin of a pregnant lady will abort her.
Okay. Oh, okay. I've talked to
some of the smooth muscle relaxants that we use. Some of the NSAIDs are all prescription drugs. Digoxin and oxytocin has been used.
But all of those things that you just talked about are things that it will not change. Right now, if I go into my vet and I say,
You have the magic word of a veterinary client-patient relationship.
Okay.
That is not affected by this Board of Pharmacy bill.
This is stopping what if you have a veterinarian that's coming up here from, which I can't imagine that you would, but let's say you've got a veterinarian or somebody who's got a DEA number,
right.
that comes up here and sells this stuff out of the back end of a truck. Are they still going to be able to do it?
No, because he does not have a veterinary client-patient relationship. He actually has to make a visit to the farm to write the prescription for someone else to dispense.
Okay.
Or he can dispense it, but he has to have a relationship with that individual.
And then the next question is, let's say you've got the person who comes up here and he doesn't have the relationship and he's selling it cheap out of the back end of his truck.
He's in trouble.
Who does the enforcement? The vet board or
the veterinary medical board enforces that on that individual. They have power over his license. Board of Pharmacy does not enter into it when it's a veterinary problem.
This bill is not giving any new powers to the Board of Pharmacy.
No.
It all stays on the Board of Veterinary Medicine.
Yes, ma'am.
And the power of the Board of Veterinary Medicine is to pull somebody's license.
License.
It's not to put somebody in jail.
No.
You can't put somebody in jail.
Well, no, not for something they do in veterinary medicine. They may go to jail as a result of how they've used the drug.
Right, at that point.
But no, we do not have that.
If they're using it as a human drug and they're somehow, I don't know, they're intoxicated via the ingestion of this drug.
Well, we use a lot of very potent narcotics, and BNDD would get involved with that. But we do use those on horses that we transport that have a twisted gut that were going to a surgical facility.
So
Baldwin and Oxycontin and things like that are used on some of these horses.
So the people that we are targeting, and as far as we know, we're not getting anybody else, is the person that I'm not aware of, but I don't go to sale barns very often, is coming up here from out of state, maybe from Mexico, someplace like that. They have what appears to be some sort of antibiotics in the back end of the truck, and they're selling them.
Or prostaglandin, or ace bromazine.
Or Banamine, something like that. And they're selling it in the back end of their pickup truck by the box load or by the bottle load.
Right.
For 50 cents on the dollar.
Well, not usually. Usually it's quite expensive. They can't get the drugs cheaper. It's just a matter of, we want to be able to control the use. We don't want somebody to buy that bottle, go to his trailer and give it to two or three cattle, and then run them through the sale barn and it go to slaughter the next day. There's where the problem comes in.
Okay, so at that point, okay. That's
it's not going to affect any distributor if they're operating legally now. They will continue to be legal, and it will not affect any over-the-counter products.
Okay. And over-the-counter products right now are those limited number of antibiotics that you named,
yep,
because right now you can't get the tranquilizers.
And vaccines. And quite frankly, a lot of people don't know this, but rabies is not a legend drug. You can buy rabies anywhere and administer it yourself anytime.
I've seen it just per dose. I've seen it in the farm and home stores.
Yeah.
But, you know, like those 3-in-1 vaccines and different things like that. The only thing I've seen in a bottle in the farm and home stores are antibiotics.
Some of us in the veterinary profession thinks it should be a regulated product, but...
But this doesn't do that.
That does not do that, no.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. I don't know if the senator from Buchanan has any other questions or any other follow-up or whatever, but... Senator, as you know, I've addressed my concerns with you, and I just want to make sure that me and all of our other city farmers and equine people, that we can get a bottle of the things that we need from our veterinarian or someone, and that we
can
still shop.
And we, as an old large animal practitioner and still see a few horses and a few cattle on occasion, we love you city farmers.
we tend to love our pets to the point that it makes a whole lot of dollars and cents for the veterinarians.
It helps us a lot.
Yeah, well, Senator, as this bill continues to progress, I'm going to send it out and about with some of my horse pals and all that different things and see if we can take a look at it. But based on what you're telling me, I don't have a problem with it right now. But if I do, I'm not shy, and I'll let you know.
I think it's a good piece of legislation. We've worked on this for about 5 years, and... to try to get a fix. We just want some oversight so we do have these drugs in our arsenal when there be need for them.
And just so I'm clear, how are we doing that in this bill? How are we increasing our enforcement ability in this bill?
The oversight portion of this bill says, you know, everything's on a computer these days.
Yes.
And if you've got somebody, whether it be a veterinarian or whether it be a distributor, that's selling $400,000 worth of Baytril a month, that's probably suspect.
$400,000 worth of what?
A Baytril a month. So he's diverting that to the lay channel. Something's happening. And at that point, probably FDA is going to look at it.
Right.
And then they're going to say, hey, these records aren't matching at all. And then Board of Pharmacy has the right to say, hey, you've got to do this correctly or you will lose your ability to sell those products.
Oh, so I missed that. Are you establishing a registry in here where that you
There's already an established registry. These folks are already registered with pharmacy, but this would give clear, and it's not changing the language just enough that it truly puts the Board of Pharmacy in charge of saying, if you're acting outside the law, someone, and as again, I must state, and this is cited in the American Veterinary Medical Association's publication, Missouri is the only state that has no oversight of veterinary legend drugs in the United States. And it does give some oversight. Not on-site, oversight. Somebody can review the records.
Somebody can review the records, but that in and of itself, you don't believe is going to do anything to create a chilling effect on our local veterinarians from giving an entire
veterinarians
bottle.
Are exempt from this legislation.
Okay, so they can, if they think it's appropriate for me to have 3 bottles of ACE and 4 bottles of Bantamine and whatever else, they can give it to me.
Right.
And we're not doing anything to mess up that relationship
no.
at all.
No, ma'am.
Okay, so the only person who has something to fear is a non-veterinarian that comes into our state to try to unload some legend drugs.
Exactly. That's who we're trying to get to bring their actions under some kind of oversight. Right now, there is no oversight. And the next step is, if we're not able to do this as a state, then FDA will take it over. And the Food and Drug Administration is all powerful, as you know, and they can actually shut off everything coming to Missouri.
I don't like Washington D.C. control.
No, I don't either. So let's do it here.
Yeah. Well, as I say, based on our conversation here, then we're fine. And as I say, also, as if some reason there's something that crops up later, I'll come and talk to you about it or object to it at a later date. I'm not shy. So
appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Senator from Buchanan.
To inquire of the Senator from Phelps.
Senator from Phelps, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. Reading through the bill and talking to some other folks, you know, I'd like you to look at page 5 toward the bottom at 338.220, right at the bottom of page 5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then it says, it shall be unlawful for any person, co-partnership, association, corporation, or any other business entity to open, establish, operate, or maintain any pharmacy as defined by statute without first obtaining a permit. And then when you read on the front page, the practice of pharmacy, you've now defined the practice of pharmacy as including any legend drugs under 21 U.S.C. Section 353, which is...
Which, that's the human legend drug. Not
right.
The veterinary legend drug. That's a human legend drug.
Okay.
Total different ballgame.
So it is not the practice of pharmacy to offer...
If you're a distributorship, as you've described with UPCO, for instance, that is not the practice of pharmacy, as deemed by the board. And, we've had quite a few attorneys look this over, and they assure us that it does not require pharmacists or a veterinarian on site. There is some oversight. In other words, they have the right, just like if Board of Pharmacy wants to subpoena records from Walmart, they can do that. And they can do it here as well.
Okay, so would you be opposed then to making it more clear by putting a little statement at the end on page 7 that the requirement of having a registered pharmacist won't be required for companies in the business of providing supplies for animals?
I think it's somewhat redundant because it's in the bill already.
Well,
in the definition within the bill.
Well, see,
because the first thing I filed about 2 years ago had this statement in there, and it was pulled out because of the... At the first part of the bill, when it's describing different sections, it says who is and who is not required to be a pharmacy. And I think what you're reading on page 5 actually has to do with a human pharmacy. It is not related. I mean, I shouldn't say they're not related because they are. But depending on the classification of your distributorship, in other words, the people that you're concerned about are not considered to be a pharmacy. They are a distributorship. And I buy a lot of prescription drugs from distributorships, have probably bought from UPCO.
Well, and what I'm trying to say is that the people at UPCO are concerned, and their attorney is concerned, that this language will be construed as requiring them to have a licensed pharmacist on staff. And they're afraid that it would put them right out of business, at least in that line.
You know, in the Kansas City, St. Joe area, there's quite a number of pharmacies there, distributors there. In that entire area, the animal health corridor, you're familiar with that terminology. Mm-hmm. Most all of those folks dispense veterinary legend drugs, and I don't know of any of them that has this fear that you have or that has a pharmacist on staff.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that since it's not important to you because you already believe that it wouldn't apply, what would be the harm in taking my amendment and putting it on there so that they feel that it's locked down, rock solid, that it wouldn't affect them?
I'm reading your amendment and trying to.
I mean, my amendment.
You're letting anybody that's been in business since 1975 completely out of the bill altogether?
No, only out of that subdivision, which is the subdivision that requires the registered pharmacist on staff. It just said would not be subject to the provisions of that subdivision, and it would go right after the part that talks about having the registered pharmacist on staff. I think that just letting them know that they're not going to at any time have anybody make this allegation, because see, they've already expended many, many thousands of dollars fighting the Board of Pharmacy, and they don't want to have to do it again.
But they're doing it right now, and they don't have to worry about that anymore.
Well,
at one point, they were
what
not.
What I'm asking you, Senator, is why don't you just let this amendment go on, and then...
Why don't we see what the body wants to do about this
amendment?
Well,
why don't we
I personally don't think it's necessary.
Well, it's not necessary, but won't do any harm to your bill, would it? And it would satisfy a few senators who are concerned, and it would help give some mental,
You know what it looks to me like you're saying is they can continue operating just like they've always done.
No, I'm only saying that the other provisions would apply. Every other provision, only the provision about the registered pharmacist employed for that purpose. Because, see, after all, I have to point out, Senator, that it does say veterinarians in Subdivision 4. I mean, they use the word or veterinarian's prescriptions. So, you know, if you're going to be using the terms veterinarian's prescriptions, and this only applies to humans.
That is only if we're compounding. We can compound.
It says or sold. And so all I'm saying is that why don't you just let that amendment go on, and then we'll be done.
Well, let's vote it.
Okay, then very good. Mr. President.
Senator from Buchanan.
I have an amendment. It's been distributed. I asked for a waiver of the reading. It's 01S.
Please send the amendment forward. Hearing no objection to the waiver of the reading, it shall be waived. Senator from Buchanan.
Basically, Mr. President, the amendment, all it does is it puts into writing what the senator from Phelps has been telling us, which is that Subdivision 4 on page 7 wouldn't apply to companies that provide supplies for animals, including veterinary legend drugs. And this would only apply to companies that have been in business for 31 years. And so that would include the company in St. Joseph that I'm concerned about. And so with that, I renew my motion.
The senator from Buchanan has moved for the adoption of Amendment Number 1. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Phelps.
Thank you.
Mr. President, I appreciate and understand what Senator from Buchanan is trying to do here, and I don't think that this will do great damage to the bill. I don't think what he's doing is necessary at all. I think he's reading a lot more into this legislation than is there or is meant to be there. But I would just let the body vote this up or down and go on with this legislation.
Any other senator desire to be heard on the motion of the senator from Buchanan for the adoption of Amendment Number 1? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you. I close.
The senator from Buchanan renews his motion for the adoption of Amendment Number 1. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The amendment has been adopted. We're back on the motion of the senator from Phelps for the adoption of the substitute. Does any other senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator from Phelps, you're recognized to close.
Mr. President, I renew my motion for the adoption of Senate committee substitute.
The senator from Phelps has renewed his motion for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 29. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The substitute has been adopted. Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, I now move that Senate Bill Number 29, Senate Committee Substitute Senate Bill Number 29 as amended, be declared, perfected, and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Phelps. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized. Close.
I close.
The senator from Phelps has moved for the perfection and ordered printing of the Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 29. All those of the opinion that that motion shall prevail, say aye. Opposed, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. It is perfected and ordered printed. Moving on that same calendar, SJR 11, Senator from Lewis.
Mr. President, I ask that SJR 11 be laid on the informal calendar.
It shall be put on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 118, Senator from Saline.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 118 be brought before the body for the perfection motion.
You heard the motion of the senator from Saline. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. President. I do have a substitute amendment, or substitute.
Please send the substitute forward. Has it been distributed?
It has been distributed. I wait for the waiver of the reading. I move for the waiver of the reading, whatever.
Hearing no objection to the waiver of the reading, it shall be waived. Senator from Saline.
Mr. President, this moves the deadline for installing sprinklers in Medicaid facilities from 2012 to 2014, and also there's establishes a start date in three paragraphs, starts the fiscal year 2012. Be glad to answer any questions.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Saline for the adoption of the substitute. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from Saline renews his motion for the adoption of the substitute. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Saline.
I move that Senate Bill 118, as amended by the substitute, be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Saline. All those of the opinion, I'm sorry, does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator renews his motion for the perfection and order printing of Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 118. Any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, all those opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Moving on that same calendar, Senate Bill 177, Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 177 with committee substitute be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Phelps. All those opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The aye appears to have it. Senator, the bill is before the body.
Mr. President, I now move that Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 177 be adopted.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Phelps for the adoption of the substitute. Senator, would you like to explain the substitute?
Yes, sir. Mr. President, what this bill does, last year we passed some legislation in the Department of Mental Health when they had an issue with someone being hurt in one of the institutions. It was brought before a claim or that complaint was brought before a personnel advisory board, and a determination was made of fault or guilt. And it was we actually passed legislation last year that said that these things would actually go to the Administrative Hearing Commission rather than a personnel board. They felt that would be a better determination. Well, in our infinite wisdom of doing that, we did not make a clear path that the paperwork could be transferred. And that's what the original bill did. It was just a section change that allowed the paperwork to go forward. And there's a mental health first aid training manuals that's being produced across the United States. And what the Senate committee substitute did was we are going to be entitled to receive $1 for every manual sold anywhere in the country. And they have sold quite a number of these at this point. We would like for the money and what has been asked by the department and different groups throughout the state of Missouri, that the mental health first aid money actually be used for that training and just basic first aid for people that may have a real problem or a real meltdown with mental health. So it's not a big, long, drawn-out piece of legislation. It's pretty straightforward. The first part does a fix from last year. The second part is capturing the money to be used for the mental health first aid training.
The senator has moved for the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Cape Girardeau, for what reason do you rise?
To inquire the senator from Phelps briefly.
Senator, do you yield?
I do.
Proceed.
Howdy, Senator.
How are you?
How are you? I'm doing good. I'm a fan of your bill. I think it's great. I rose to make a simple point. You've got in here what some in the tax credit taker community would say is the most evil language that's ever existed in known to man. I'm talking all the really bad stuff in the Bible. And those words are subject to the appropriations process.
Yes.
I mean, are you sure that we could actually survive sending mental health first aid USA pamphlet proceeds through an appropriations process? Because I've heard we have to spend hundreds of millions of dollars outside of that appropriations process because it's like all the bad stuff in the Bible.
You know, this is not a lot of money, and everyone was in agreement. If we're going to do this, let's do it the correct way, the proper way, and have a paper trail and be able to track that the money's actually being used where we have asked for it to be sent.
And I think that's an excellent point. We can do mental health services funding through the appropriations process, but we can't do tax credits. So thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you.
I appreciate your work on this.
Thank you.
We're on the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 177. Does any other senator desire to be heard on that motion? I'm sorry, Senator from Phelps, for what reason do you rise?
Mr. President, I also have a technical amendment. I would ask that it be read. When in our language, we did not include 4 and 5. It's a new section capturing this money, so I would ask that technical correction be made at this
point. Please send it forward. It shall be read.
Senate Amendment 1, offered by Senator Brown to amend Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 177, page 1, section 630.053, line 11, by striking, quote, and 4, close quote, and inserting in lieu thereof the following, quote, 4 and 5, close quote.
Senator, do you move for the adoption?
I move for the adoption of the amendment.
Senator from Phelps has moved for the adoption of amendment number one. Is any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Phelps has renewed his motion for the adoption of amendment number one. All those with the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. That amendment has been adopted. We're back on the adoption of the Senate committee substitute. Does any other senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Mr. President, I renew my motion for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute.
The senator from Phelps has renewed his motion for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Phelps.
President, I now move that Senate Bill number 177, as amended by the Senate committee substitute, be declared perfected and ordered printed.
The senator from Phelps has moved that Senate Bill 177, as amended, be declared perfected and ordered printed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from Phelps has renewed his motion that Senate Bill 177 be declared perfected and ordered printed. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
All those contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Staying on that calendar, Senate Bill 241. Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, I'd like that bill to be laid over on the calendar.
Put on the informal calendar. Thank you. Staying on that same calendar, Senate Bill 323, Senator from Boone.
Mr. President, which order of business are we on?
We're on Senate Bills for Perfection, Senate Bill 323.
Mr. President, will you lay that over, please?
It shall be put on the informal calendar, staying on that same calendar. Senate Bill 59, Senator from the 4th.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 59 be taken up for perfection.
You've heard the motion of the Senator from the 4th. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The aye appears to have it. The aye does have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from the 4th.
Mr. President, I now move that Senate Bill number 59 be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion of the Senator from the 4th. Senator, would you like to explain your bill?
Yes. This bill, I worked with the Missouri Bar on this. This bill modifies the Uniform Trust Code. This is a trust bill as well as the bill after this. It provides for clarity and flexibility in the trustees of discretionary trusts. And with that, I'll answer any questions.
The senator from the 4th has moved for the bill be declared perfected and ordered printed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator from the 4th renews his motion that Senate Bill 59 be declared perfected and ordered printed. All of those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Staying on that same calendar, Senate Bill 60, Senator from the 4th.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill number 60 with committee substitute be taken up for perfection.
You heard the motion of the Senator from the 4th. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from the 4th.
Mr. President, I now move that Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill number 60 be adopted.
You've heard the motion of the Senator from the 4th for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Cape Girardeau. Senator, would you like to explain your Senate committee substitute?
Yes. On the introduced version of the bill, there was some concern about duplication in language when a power of attorney and a trust document that each one have the appropriate language to make an anatomical gift. So I removed the requirement for the power of attorney.
The senator from the 4th has moved for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute. Senator from Cape Girardeau, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire the senator from the 4th.
Senator from the 4th, do you yield?
Yes, sir.
Proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator. What is the right of sepulcher?
That is the choice and control over burial, cremation, or the final disposition of
your body.
Did you
bring a crypt sheet
into
this law final?
Most people have them sent in by little notes. I brought them with me.
Hey, you know what they told me? Studying's cheating. So that's not really fair that you didn't have to bring from memory what the rite of sepulcher. Let's see if I can find any other neat terms in here.
Senator, you would not believe when I saw that in there. I thought someone's going to ask me.
Well, you knew I was, yes. No, I appreciate it, Senator. Thank you very much for your work. Thanks for the inquiry. Thank you, Mr. President.
We're on the adoption of the Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill 60. Does any other senator desire to be heard on the motion of the senator from the 4th? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
The senator has renewed his motion for the adoption of the Senate committee substitute. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Opposed, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 4th.
President, I now move that Senate Bill number 60 be, as amended by the Senate committee substitute, be declared perfected and ordered printed.
The senator from the 4th has moved that Senate Bill 60 as amended be declared perfected and ordered printed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator has renewed his motion that Senate Bill 60 be declared perfected and ordered printed. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Opposed, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from the 23rd. Staying on that same calendar, Senate Bill 70, Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will you place that bill on the informal calendar, please?
It shall be placed on the informal calendar. Staying on that calendar, Senate Bill 165, Senator from Lawrence.
Mr. President, I move that Senate Bill 165 be brought before the body for perfection.
You heard the motion of the Senator from Lawrence. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body.
Thank you, Mr. President. At this time, I'm going to move that Senate Bill 165 be perfected. There's also a Senate committee substitute. I'm going to move for its adoption, but I'm going to ask the body to defeat that substitute. The underlying bill sunsets basically the funding mechanism for the legal services fund. It does not, existing statute did not sunset the collection of the court costs for it. It simply sunset the spending of it on the program. The substitute included language that would allow that money still being collected to be paid over to the court, to be expended by the court to continue under the court's own oversight the provision of basic civil legal services to the indigent. I think that probably we need to come up with tighter language as this moves on. My hope is that we can simply pass the extension of the sunset from 2012 to 2018 and not need the language of the substitute. If there are questions, I can answer them. But my request would be that the body defeat the substitute.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Lawrence. Any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Cape Girardeau.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Inquire the senator from Lawrence.
Do you yield?
I do yield.
Senator, thank you very much for yielding, and thank you very much for your motions, and I appreciate that on the direction. As you and I, as you know, you and I have had long discussions with this legislation, and I really do truly appreciate your attempts to accommodate me. But for the benefit of the body, language that we worked out the last time that this was continued the sunsetting of these court costs, the operative language to me that is important in all of this is, and this is just my personal opinion, is on page 2 of the Senate committee substitute. I know we're going to defeat it, but it's on page 2 of the Senate committee substitute, lines 26 through 28, which will be in the underlying. This is existing law. This is the law that I asked to be inserted the last time that we re-upped it, and it says that state legal services programs shall represent individuals to secure lawful state benefits, but shall not sue the state, its agencies, or its officials with any state funds. And therein lies the dichotomy, because in order to get state benefits, you have to sue the state officials. I can't, in all candidness, come up with any clearer way to do this balancing of trying to make sure that legal expense fund represents the indigent according to their guidelines without starting these class action political statement ACL-like lawsuits. Previously, in the eastern side of the state, we've had this as an issue. I will represent to you, it's not as big of an issue as it was previously where we asked for this language. All in all, having discussed with you, I know how passionate you are on this and in your work in this area. I would just, as you chair the Judiciary Committee, continue to look at this report that's required, monitor where we're at. We do have internally with the guidelines of these organizations that they won't be bringing class action lawsuits. However, sometimes they just amend their guidelines, bring the class, and we didn't put and won't do class action lawsuits in the statute. I'm not asking, for that to be there, but in a nutshell, for the benefit of the body, I want to help the individual. I want to help the one with the modifications. I want to help the ones with trying to, get child support collections. I want to help individuals that, through no fault of their own in a shoddy landlord that can start eviction processes on them and not follow the law. I think it's a very, very noble action. I just don't want to make any political statements out of this fund. Whether you like our Medicaid reforms or you don't like our Medicaid reforms, this entity and this organization on the eastern side is what brought the lawsuits in response to it and why we have that language that's there. But I understand where you're at. I appreciate you not authorizing the other part because I have even greater heartburn with where we're going there. So after 72, I declare thumb wars over there. You beat me 50% of the time, so I'm just going to sit down and shut up.
But I appreciate your concerns. I share them, and any of this money that gets used for the types of cases that you pointed out having happened in the past, I object to also, and we'll watch very closely for those.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any other senator desire to be heard? Senator, I don't believe you've actually made the motion for the adoption yet. Senator from Lawrence, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. President. I do now move for the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute and ask my colleagues to defeat it.
Senator from Lawrence, the Senator from Lawrence has moved for the adoption of the Senate Committee substitute. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
With my tongue in my cheek, I close.
The Senator from Lawrence has renewed his motion for the Senate Committee substitute for Senate Bill 165. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye. Those of the contrary say no.
No.
The no appears to have it. The noes do have it. The Senate Committee substitute has been defeated. Senator from Lawrence.
Now I will speak on my motion that Senate Bill 165 be perfected. This legislation extends the sunset on the legal services program in Missouri. This funding pretty much reimburses attorneys across the state who are acting in a predominantly voluntary manner to provide legal services to the indigent of this state. It basically just reimburses for the out-of-pocket expenses, in most cases, of that legal representation. These funds are used to help low-income folks who are in the last stages of life in a hospital to come up with a document to declare who should have custody of their children, deals with custody, parenting, wrongful evictions, basically a myriad of civil legal issues where folks are in need. With that, I'll answer any questions there may be, and then I'll renew my motion.
Senator from Lawrence has moved that Senate Bill 165 be declared perfected and ordered printed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Lawrence has renewed his motion that Senate Bill 165 be declared perfected and ordered printed. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Staying on that same calendar, Senate Bill 116, Senator from the 10th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill number 116 be taken up for perfection.
Senator from the 10th has moved that Senate Bill 116 be brought before the body for perfection. All those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is before the body. Senator from the 10th.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill number 116 be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion of the senator from the 10th. Senator, would you like to explain your bill?
Yes, Mr. President. This is the Uniform Interstate Family Support Act. It is not a small bill, but it actually is going to be incredibly helpful for those folks who work in the area of family support in the state of Missouri. This updates Missouri's current Interstate Support Act, and it's consistent with changes that have been endorsed by the National Conference for Commissioners on Uniform State Laws and the Missouri Bar Family Law Section and also the Missouri Bar Board of Governors. Most of these changes in this act were adopted by these groups in 2001. 22 other states have adopted these, but unfortunately, we have not updated our Interstate Family Support Act since 1997. This is going to essentially facilitate enforcement of child support when a parent attempts to escape payment by moving to another state or country. It eases local court process for enforcing or modifying a foreign country's order where the foreign court refuses to enforce or modify, and it prevents form shopping for more lenient enforcement provisions in other states. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
You've heard the motion and the explanation of the senator from the 10th for the perfection motion on Senate Bill 116. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I renew my motion.
The senator from the 10th has renewed her motion that Senate Bill 116 be declared perfected and ordered printed. All of those of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Bill 116 has been declared perfected and ordered printed. Staying on that calendar, Senate Bill 10, the senator from the 2nd. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please place that bill on the informal calendar?
It shall be placed on the informal calendar. Senate Bill number 9. Senator from the 2nd.
Thank you, Mr. President. 23rd. Would you please Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please place that bill on the informal calendar?
That bill will be placed on the informal calendar. Staying on that calendar, Senate Bill number 208. Senator from Davies.
President, I ask that bill be put on the informal calendar.
That bill will be placed on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 209, Senator from Worth.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask that bill be placed on the informal calendar.
That bill will also be placed on the informal calendar. On Senate Bill for Perfection Calendar, SJR 15, Senator from Franklin.
President, I would ask that SJR be laid over on the informal calendar.
That bill will be laid over on the informal calendar. Senate Bill 147.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill 147 be brought before the body for perfection.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill 147 be brought before the body for perfection.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that Senate Bill 147 be declared perfected and ordered printed. All this bill does is it requires school districts to include in their annual school accountability report card whether the school district currently has a state-approved gifted education program and the percentage and number of students being served by that program. I renew my motion.
The senator from Boone moves that Senate Bill 147 be perfected and ordered printed. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from Cape Girardeau, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire the senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you for yielding, Senator, and I appreciate it very much. Just one question. You don't have any intentions, I guess, of sending this bill out of the Senate, loading it up with a mandated gifted program or anything along those lines?
As much as I would like to do that, no, that's right. Not my intention. This, you know, and we've had that debate. I think at this point, we just need just an accounting of what's out there.
Okay.
That's all this thing.
Fair enough. I don't object with that, but if we have your word in the Senate, this isn't an attempt to then bring back and put sort of an entitled funding gifted, then I would appreciate
that. That is not my intention.
Okay. Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator from the 7th, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the sponsor of the bill.
Senator from Boone, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
You and I talked about an amendment that I was thinking of in committee, and I don't have it distributed, but it's written and ready to go. It's the one that deals with METs. In other words, a lot of the gifted deal with these teachers on math, you know, science, technology, those kinds of topics. Would you be willing to wait while I talk and we get it distributed and put that on here?
And I know we had a discussion. Can you remind me again exactly what your amendment would do?
What it does is it does the same thing of yours with regard to reporting. It requires that they report any baccalaureate teachers that are coming with baccalaureates in math, science, technology, and engineering, or that they have a lifetime experience in that. So we know that they are fairly hiring these kind of specialty areas in those subjects that you know a lot of the gifted students are interested in. So it just requires they put that on the report card. Same thing as yours.
Okay, and I guess we can continue to talk while you're having your amendment distributed. I guess I don't have a problem with that. My only issue would be it's really what I'm asking is not very onerous. It's pretty simple, and I don't think it really adds anything. It's got a zero fiscal note. They just have to say if they have a gifted program or not, and how many gifted kids are identified that they otherwise would have. And I don't know what it would take as far as what you want to put on there. I don't know if that's data that's readily available that they've already got and they can simply include that in the annual report card, or if that's something that they're going to have to affirmatively gather, which they otherwise don't have.
I think it'd be pretty easy. I mean, because they know the people that are applying and what their specialties are. What I'm trying to do is get these hierarchy thinking skills that we've been trying to promote the METs. We've been trying to, and that's, you know, a lot of the gifted kids subjects that they need. And we don't have the staff to, be teaching those subjects. So what I'm trying to do is get the gifted kids the types of subjects that they need. I don't believe it has a fiscal note. I think it would be pretty darn easy to report.
Okay.
You know, if you'd go along with that, I'd appreciate it.
Now what should we talk about?
I think, are we getting it distributed? Okay, it's getting distributed now. Yeah, here you go. Okay, it's ready now. So I move for the adoption of the amendment.
Senator from the 7th, do you have an amendment you'd like to send forward?
I do. Let me fill out the... Here we go. Senator, I appreciate your willingness to take this on. I do think it will help a lot of the kids. Along with yours, by the way, and I really
Senator,
do appreciate
do you move the adoption for Senate Amendment 1?
I move for the adoption of Senate Bill 1.
Madam Secretary?
I'll remove.
Madam Secretary, please read the amendment.
So you can waiver of the read.
Okay, it is being distributed. Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator, would you care to explain your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. What this does is do the same thing that the sponsor of the bill is doing. This has to do with what the districts are reporting on their report cards. And in addition to his, that requires that they report about gifted education programs, that they also report on the teachers that they are bringing in that have a baccalaureate degree in the METS areas, which is math, science, technology, and engineering.
The senator moves the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 1 to Senate Bill 147. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? It appears all the amendments have been distributed. The amendments have been distributed to everyone. Does any senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
I close.
close.
Senator from the 7th, move the adoption of Senate Amendment number 1 to Senate Bill 147. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Amendment number 1. So any senators desire to be heard on Senate Bill number 147? Seeing none, the senator from Boone is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
The senator moves, renews his motion that Senate Bill number 147 be declared perfected and ordered printed. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Staying on that same calendar, SJR 10, the senator from the 1st.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Joint Resolution 10 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The senator from the 1st.
Thank you, Mr. President. Now I move that Senate Joint Resolution number 10 be perfected and printed. Mr. President, this is a change in our Missouri Constitution that would go before the people if it moved through this this General Assembly, and what it would do is it would take our House of Representatives, which is currently the fourth largest in the country, at 163 to 103 representatives. Within those districts, those representatives would represent approximately 55,000 residents currently. They represent about 35,000, Mr. President, and this would save the taxpayers of the state about $4 to $5 million, positive fiscal note. Mr. President, could I inquire the senator from the 13th?
The senator from the 1st is inquiring the senator from the 13th. Does the senator from the 13th yield? He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator.
How are you?
Good. One other thing you didn't mention.
Yes.
There will be those representatives that will take this personally that you are trying to get rid of them. Actually, your resolution does not kick in until 20.
After the next census. So it would
so
be
the census
2022?
Will be 2020. They will redistrict the districts, and at that time, they will downsize them to 103. So the new districts will then take place. So you're also doing it at a time where it would not disrupt
anybody that's currently serving
are right. Restructuring the districts.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. Interestingly enough, Senator, I know that you and I are like-minded on this change, and I know that there has been attempts over the last number of years, to make this change. I've heard, quite frankly, from a number of my conservative supporters that this isn't a positive thing to be doing, in that it would give less representation to people in the state of Missouri. And, quite frankly, I see their take on that. But as we look at, across state government and look at ways to make us more efficient and to save the taxpayers money, I mean, this was one area where, I looked at it and thought, after serving in the House, and you also served in the House, the amount of work that you have to do representing 35,000 people, not to say that it's not a tough job, but I really believe, and I'd like to get your take on it, that to be able to handle the workload of 55,000, residents, I think is very manageable. I mean, what are your thoughts?
I agree with you on the 55,000, but you also have to put in the new variable that took place and became more effective in 2002 is term limits.
Right.
So people are coming and going, and before you had 106, or you currently have 163, some would stay, like me, 20 years, and they would understand the issues, and public service was part of their career. Nowadays, with term limits, so many coming and going, some only stay 6 years, that you have a lot of turnover as it is. So I think making it 55,000 will make it probably more competitive, but I think once they get here, that the continuation of public service at the state representative level, they'll have more of an impact because there'll be less people
and they will be answerable just as well. And dealing, as you well know, in the Senate and the House, as long as you have quality staff, the people's work will be dealt with, those trying to get through the maze of bureaucracies.
So this would roughly put about a 3-to-1 ratio between the House members
of
within a Senate district.
Instead of, I say 1-to-5, you say 5-to-1. So that's what happens when you come from South County and North County. Your ratio numbers are just kind of, you know when I always say I'm headed to South County, what I say?
What?
I don't need to bring my jacket because I'm going closer to the equator.
Yeah, it's warmer down south.
Yes, yeah. It is. But right. I have a similar SJR that when you and I first talked about this, you said you were doing it, didn't want to introduce something that was already introduced, so you allowed me to co-sponsor. But I wanted to also increase to the vote of the people at the same time the possibility of bringing it to 12 years instead of 8 years, the term limits. But I support you on a bipartisan way on this issue. And I think by bringing it into effect 2022, you're making it more feasible way for it to work.
Great. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Further discussion? The Senator from the 10th, for what purpose do you rise?
Tim Carr, the Senator from the 1st.
Senator from the 1st, you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you, Senator. I wasn't able to hear your entire conversation with the Senator from the 13th. I just wanted to, I don't understand when this takes effect. Can you explain that to me?
It would take effect after the next census. So that would be 2020, so that the it actually would be 2022, I believe. It'd be on the last page, Senator. Page 4.
Page 4?
Right. Beginning with the 102nd General Assembly.
This is, I'm sorry, can you tell me the name of the bill number?
SJR 10.
Oh, okay, I was on 11. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
SJR 10, okay. And you're taking it from how many to?
From 163 to 103.
What do the House members think about that?
You know, I really haven't had much feedback from any House members. You know, I think, again, with our effort, to try to downsize state government, that when realizing they're the fourth largest House in the country, that it makes sense.
So basically what we would do then is after the next census, when we do the redistricting, we would redistrict based on the smaller number of House seats instead of the larger number of House seats. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And when would this be on the ballot?
I would say it would be, let's see, 2012, isn't it?
2012?
Yeah.
And then one last question.
November 2012, yes.
Okay. Okay. Those are all the questions I had. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Further discussion? Seeing none, the Senator from the 1st is recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from the 1st renews his motion that Senate Joint Resolution Number 10 be declared perfected and order printed. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have declared that Senate Joint Resolution Number 10 be perfected and ordered printed. Staying on that same calendar, Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate will go to the order of business of Senate bills for perfection, the informal calendar, Senate Bill 9.
Senate bills for perfection on the informal calendar, Senate Bill Number 9. Senator from the 2nd. Senator from the 2nd, the senior senator from St. Charles County, Senate Bill Number 9.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate Bill Number 9 be brought before the body.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from the 2nd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move for the adoption of Senate Bill Number 9, and I have a Senate substitute that I would gladly send
forward, Mr. President, if that would please you beyond belief. And hopefully it does, and if it does, I'll hand it to the donor.
Has the substitute been distributed?
I really hope so. I believe it has, Mr. President. And if so, I would ask for a waiver of the reading.
Seeing no objection, the reading will be waived. Senator from the second.
Thank you, Mr. President. What this bill deals with is something that this body has... I would move for the adoption of the Senate substitute first. What this bill does with is it deals with robocalls. And this is a bill that we have passed out of the Senate three times for the last 3 years, unanimous every single time, Mr. President. So now we're going for the quinella, and we are going to attempt to pass this bill one more time. And basically what it does is it deals with when you get phone calls, the deal with the, you know, the no-call list or things. A lot of times people think that if it's a political call and they put themselves on a no-call list, then they would be exempt. A lot of times that when people get a robocall, it's simply the people don't have to state who it's actually being paid for by. And so what this bill does is it simply says if you are going to be doing robocalls, then you need to at least have a live person say, would you please hold for this? That would have to be preceded by a live person, that any political telephone messaging recorded robocall would also have to include the paid for by language that is there. The only thing that the substitute does different than the bill that we've passed out of here the last 3 years is it does remove the words graphic imaging and data communication from the definition of telephone solicitation. It just kind of thought that you know, that would maybe be pulling in some of the internet providers that also are telephone companies. So we're just, you know, clarifying that definition that in, you know, an email or a text message or something would not be something that would simply apply to this. Gladly answer any questions. If not, I would renew my motion.
Senator, I would say that the Senate substitute has not been distributed yet, so we will not vote on that until all members have a chance to take a look at the Senate substitute.
Thank you.
The senior senator from St. Charles has moved the adoption of Senate substitute for Senate Bill number 9. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Senator from the 11th, what purpose do you rise?
May I inquire of the senator from second?
Senator from the second, yield?
I do yield.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I understood that the substitute is being distributed right as we speak.
Yes. My apologies to the body. I thought this was distributed.
Could you kind of just
a month ago?
If you could kind of refresh your what are the changes in the sub?
The sub only deals with one definition, and that is on the definition of telephone solicitation. It removes the words graphic imaging and data communication from the definition of telephone solicitation. So it wouldn't encompass, you know, an internet provider that's also a, you know, a telephone service provider, also a text message, or if you did internet advertising, like on your home page.
Okay, so you're exempting that.
We're right. Exempting that because that's, it's not the, the problem, and it's not...
And we wouldn't really have any power to regulate the internet anyway, as
right,
a state,
no,
would we?
No. Okay. So if you wanted to buy...
So this was just a problem in the language that you had to clarify.
It was just a definition problem that was brought up to us by, you know, Yahoo and Google and those guys that you know, do advertising on that this would not, you know, interfere with...
Okay, I believe in the past, if memory serves me correct, the senator from St. Francis had this bill a couple of times.
Yes, he passed it out of this body three times unanimously.
I don't know. Have you had this bill before?
I filed this bill every single year since I've been here, and we just usually, there was two or three of them, and we rolled them in, and they went through the senator from the St. Francis's committee, and he handled them.
Now, the basic provisions of the bill are that they have to identify, like when you get a piece of mail during a political campaign.
Right.
So you're really just turning it into that, right? They would have to say who it's paid for by.
Who it's paid for by.
The treasurer.
Right, and then if it's a robocall, it would have to be preceded by a, you know, live operator who gives your consent. So it would be, hi, I'm Bob Smith, and I'm calling from XYZ Company. Would you please hold for a recorded message from, you know,
right,
blah, blah, for Congress?
Right, okay. And in the live operator, would they have to disclose what they're calling about?
Yeah, they would have to disclose. Would they have, first they would have to receive permission
to play the
message. But in the description of the call, would they have to say that it was a political call, that it was that you'll please receive this following message? I guess what you see what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
You might have somebody, we're in the circumstances of people who are on the no-call list anyway, right? And the only way around that is to have permission to get the call, right?
Yeah, the political
so what I mean
phone
is
calls
the operator,
are not included. If you're on the no-call list, it doesn't affect political calls.
Right. But the live operator, would they have to identify that it was a political message?
You know, I'm looking it up right now. It's been a while since I looked at this.
I mean, I didn't see.
It's on page 2 at the bottom by any person. And then it goes to page 3. When the message is preceded by a live operator, obtains subscriber's consent before the message is delivered. No, they do not have to say who it is from. They just have to get your consent, and then the message itself has to say who it was from and who it was paid for by.
But so they could say, you know, would you receive a call on the importance of Mom Apple Pie and Chevrolet, and then it turns out to be the senator from 2nd running for state senate.
Well, aren't those two in the same?
Well, it could be. But I guess what I'm saying is the live operator, I guess somebody can say no, but we're not making them define that it's a political call necessarily.
That is correct. No, they just have to give get consent to play the message. And then once
I don't really have an amendment on this. I just wanted to kind of raise that point. And I guess if I say yes to the live operator, right, and then I find out that it's not about Mom Apple Pie and Chevrolet, and
then at least you know
that's a political call. Then
who lied to you?
Then just like when I was 3 years old and touched the hot oven, I just didn't touch the hot oven again.
Right.
So the next time a live operator calls, I don't.
Right.
I don't do that, so I guess that's.
And I think also
I'm not sure that the.
Then you would know who paid for it as well, and you would at least know that hey, this person lied to me right off the bat, or at least their person did. And then it also does. The only thing I think is different from last year's bill is it does not allow services to block the caller ID or to use a different caller ID number than is.
And then all the exemptions you have are from the employers to employees.
And that's current no-call. Like, if you've had a relationship with a business in the last year or so, then the no-call list doesn't apply, so as to get around that.
And then a school district or a local government
or
public safety, if there's a tornado or something like that.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Senator. That was the only concern I had. Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator from the 22nd, what purpose do you rise?
To inquire the senior senator from the 2nd.
Is a senior senator from St. Charles.
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I had a question just looking through this. Under the definitions on page 2, that starts all the definitions.
Mm-hmm.
And under 1, an automated call, any pre-recorded or synthesized voice message resulting from the use of an automated dialing announcing device, but does not include communication, and then if you jump down to H, from a person or entity requesting the residential subscriber's personal opinion regarding a public policy matter, political candidate, or issue before the voters, whether a request for an opinion is made for a bona fide information gathering purpose.
That is addressing the ability to still do opinion polling, whether it be political or for
even it could be a push poll, it could be biased, it could be sided one way or the other.
We didn't make any we were concerned about the ability for company or anybody to do opinion polling and things of that nature, because we didn't want to exclude, we didn't want to.
Isn't that what voters are upset about around election time, and we're not really stopping?
Well, I think most of the time the complaints that I get all the time are on the robocalls that that are not a live person or somebody, and it's like they have to listen to this message or it fills up their answering machine or things.
Which, in our line of work, is a good thing.
is what? Filling up
the having machine? The answering machine full.
Yeah.
I get two unanswered calls, and it goes right to that annoying buzzing sound for about a half an hour, and then it'll cut off, and really only three people can leave me messages. You know, I feel this is a slippery slope, I guess. The problem I have is it's becoming harder and harder to get in contact with the voters. And what they tell us is we don't listen to them. And this past election, I did direct mail pieces. I did radio ads. I did all those things.
You did?
I did. Luckily. If I would have listened to my people back home, I should have just did nothing. I'm glad I didn't listen. But what concerns me is the voters kind of want it both ways. When you try to reach out to them, they don't like the form that we're doing it. And when we do things like this, we can't reach out to the voters.
Well, I think you can.
And with a district like, when you get right to the Senate, it's virtually impossible to knock on every door. State representative is probably the last elected office where you can virtually knock on every door in right your district. It's hard to reach the voters. I support this bill, but I do see this as a area of concern that it's getting harder and harder to connect with our voters, and I guess that's more of a soapbox than anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think you still can. It's just rather than have a pre-recorded call that's really not you connecting with your voters, it's just you telling them what you want them to hear. You know, then it has to be just you just have to get their permission to say, hey, Senator McKenna wants to, Senator from 20, whatever.
You know who's presiding. He doesn't care about the rules.
he would like, and if they want to hear the message, and then they just give their consent.
Yeah. Why was the very last section stricken? The last section of the substitute dealing with the Attorney General's office?
Well, pardon me, why was it stricken?
Yeah, it's bracketed out.
The very last, on the back page?
12 and 13. This is basically to educate the general public about what their rights are with the no call. Is that right?
I'm sure it is. I think it's a pretty well publicized.
Senator from the second. We will not refer to our fellow senators by their name, only by their district.
Very timely.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President.
Proceed.
Delayed reaction man.
They had SNL on last night from the 90s. And to me, that was the best cast that
was
they'd ever had on Saturday Night Live. And that would have been a good character for Dana Carvey, I think.
And delayed reaction man.
Delayed reaction guy. Or Mr. No Depth Perception Man. He was... Okay, I don't have a problem with that coming out. I just wanted to know if you had any reason why. Because I think part of the misconception that the general public has is when they've signed up for these no-call lists and yet they continue to get
right
phone calls.
Right.
And this seemed like a way to educate them. But, okay, thank you, Senator.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Further discussion. Senator from the 13th, what purpose do you rise?
To briefly inquire the senator from Jefferson.
I yield.
Senator from the 22nd, he does yield. Proceed.
I don't get up on the floor often to disagree, but the SNL 1980s, that was the cast. Okay.
We can talk about that if you want.
No, I just wanted to argue.
Who's
that
funnier than Chris Rock and Chris Farley?
Oh yeah,
and
Jim
Adam
Chase,
Sandler.
Senator from the 23rd and I were talking. We come from the same era. But Chevy Chase.
Oh, so in other words,
Belushi,
it's
late 70s, too. Yes. Gilda Radner, John Belushi, Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd.
That was a great cast, too.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't for the cast of the 90s, that show was
going downhill.
If it wasn't
the cast
downhill
for the 70s and 80s, it wouldn't have started.
Hmm.
We don't need to get this in the media or the
Molly
blog.
Shannon?
This is what we discussed.
Okay.
Thank you,
Senator.
Further discussion. Further discussion? Seeing none, the senior senator from St. Charles is recognized to close.
I close, Mr. President.
The senator from the second closes on the Senate substitute. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the Senate substitute.
Thank you, Mr. President. I now move that the Senate substitute for Senate Bill number 9 be ordered, perfected, and printed.
You've heard the motion. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, the senators recognize to close.
I close, Mr. President.
The senior senator from St. Charles moves that Senate Bill 9 be declared perfected and ordered printed. All those in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have declared the bill perfected and ordered printed. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements. I ask you to recognize me for an announcement.
Announcements. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. For tomorrow, legislation that is likely to come up, may come up, probably will come up. Senate Bill 72, Senate Bill 322, Senate Bill 70, Senate Joint Resolution 15, Senate Bill 25, Senate Bill 356, Senate Bill 368, Senate Bill 351, Senate Bill 90, Senate Bill 117, Senate Bill 26 and 106, Senate Bills 394 and 331. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further announcements. The Senator from Lawrence.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee on Judiciary will meet immediately upon adjournment in the lounge.
Further announcements. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would ask that you please refer Senate concurrent resolution number 13 to the Committee on Rules, Joint Rules, Resolutions, and Ethics.
That bill will be so referred. Further announcements. Further announcements. Seeing none, Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you ask the Secretary if there are messages from the Governor?
Are there messages from the Governor? There are.
Would you have those printed in the journal?
They will be printed in the journal.
And, Mr. President, would you ask the Secretary if there are messages from the House?
Do we have messages from the House? We do.
Would you please have those read?
Madam Secretary, would you please read the messages from the House?
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute for House Bill 344, an act relating to the Farm-to-Table Advisory Board. Also, House Bill 462, an act relating to the Missouri Energy Task Force. Also, House Bill 503, an act relating to the public election dates. Also, House Committee Substitute for House Bill 578, an act relating to the disposal of tires. Also, House Concurrent Resolution 15, House Concurrent Resolution 33, House Concurrent Resolution 34, House Concurrent Resolution 11, House Concurrent Resolution 7, and House Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 17, in which the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Respectfully submitted, Daniel Adam Crumless, Chief Clerk.
Senator from the 23rd, announcements. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you please refer the gubernatorial appointments to the Committee on gubernatorial appointments.
It will be so referred. Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move the Senate stand adjourned under the rules.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Aye. All opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. We are adjourned under the rules.